Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in today. So glad you joined us. I'm Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We're here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So welcome to Live the Promise, and very happy Wednesday to you. I am having my 3 o'clock cup of coffee. Not that I like the taste of it, but I do like the jittery side effects. I'm glad you have you listening today. I have a question for you. Do you believe in spiritual warfare? We're going to talk about my least favorite subject today, which is Satan. But my guest this hour is going to help us understand how we can prepare and protect our families against spiritual attack. Let me tell you about my guest. I'd like to get her on the show. Leanne McCoy is a very sought-after speaker and author of Spiritual Warfare for Women. She is the prayer minister at a large Southern Baptist church where her husband serves as pastor. She also leads Never Fail Faith Ministries, a community of believers who connect with one another for encouragement and growth. That's a great idea. Leanne lives with her family in Tennessee, and you can find her influencer page at myfaithradio.com. Leanne, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Bill.
Well, I'm so glad you could be here, and we are very interested in your book, Spiritual Warfare for the Family, because I think as uncomfortable as it can be to talk about this topic, it's important to address it and to be aware and to be equipped. Fair?
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the ways that the devil tries to keep us off balance is to make us so afraid of attack that we just go ahead and let him work undercover and not know a thing about him or the ways that he works against us. But what we realize as we begin to take a look at what spiritual warfare is that our not knowing about it is not going to stop us from being attacked. So we're going to be under attack anyway. We might as well be equipped and understand the victory that belongs to us along the way.
Right. Now, Leanne, we're almost not even allowed anymore to call evil evil in today's world. I mean, right. I don't even know what we're supposed to say. Like, what, Satan's just misunderstood? He had a rough childhood? I mean, what are we trying to do with this whole thing? Because the problem is evil exists. We don't call it evil anymore.
Right, we don't. And that also doesn't make it go away. You know, we have all kinds of different little words and ways. And isn't that just the way that the devil works, though?
Oh.
He doesn't want to be exposed as completely ill or evil. You know, we've always heard the scenario of you can have an illustration and somebody says, well, draw the devil, and you want to get a real slimy looking guy with a pitchfork and horned ears. But really what it may be is something very, very beautiful
mm-hmm.
that we're attracted to.
Yes.
Because that's the way he likes to operate is undercover.
The angel of light.
Incognito.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right. Let's get the show started by, because this is a subject that we want to be, scripturally based and solid, and we want to get off on the right foot. Would you share with the audience a passage of scripture that maybe God's had on your heart lately or something you've been ruminating over the last week?
Yes, a verse that has meant a whole lot to me really for a year, and it was my verse of the year in 2015, is Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. And in one version of scripture, that verse reads this: the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former, thus says the Lord, and I will bring peace into this place. And of course, we know that when he was talking through the prophet Haggai, he was talking about actually his temple in Jerusalem. But we can take that verse and apply it to what's going on in our homes with our families. And so that verse has meant a tremendous depth of encouragement to me in some of my darkest times in my home, in my family. And it was actually shown to me when my daughter brought it out several years back. We were going through a terrible family crisis, and she found it. And she brought it to me, and she's like, "Mom, look at this. This is what I believe God's saying." And my response was, both of us were saying, "I don't know how on earth that could ever be so." Hmm. But we are literally living now, 5 years later, in the fact that God made that verse so in our lives, even when it looked like it would not be, he has done the very thing he said he would do.
Mm, I love it. I love it. So I want to understand why you were led to write this book, Spiritual Warfare for Your Family, What You Need to Know to Protect Your Children. Let's get started with what motivated you to write the book.
Okay. Well, I wrote several years back, I wrote the book Spiritual Warfare for Women, and the motivation for that came out of just being a teacher of prayer for many years and realizing that when we pray, we are really doing battle. That's what prayer is. Prayer mm-hmm. is advancing the kingdom of God against the forces of darkness. And so that was sort of the way that I backed into becoming a student of what is spiritual warfare. And so wrote that book. But while I was writing that book, the attack that came my way had to do with my children. My health was attacked. I had been attacked before, and in the realm of friendships, and I'm a pastor's wife, so I'd experienced spiritual warfare in the church. But this attack that came at me that had to do with my relationship with my children, their relationship with me, it was really specifically one child that we were just heart aching, breaking over, taught me so many things about the battle in our home. And I realized that as parents, what hits our heart more than what goes on with our kids? And I've learned throughout that battle, I've learned so much about how to not just go to the battlefield, but how to win the battle on those battlefields, and how to have the victory that we can have. So much of the book, Bill, is very general in what spiritual warfare is and how we can be certain of our victory. But I get also extremely specific in speaking of the warfare that we're engaged in and how we can win the victory and the relationship as parent to child, and how we as parents can pave the way to winning victory for our children, to stand in the gap on their behalf.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's a quote from the opening pages of your book. It says, "Spiritual warfare is the ongoing resistance that Satan launches against God by exerting his arrogant desire to be God. It is real, is vicious, violent, vile, and brutal. Until you discover what a warrior you are, the war began in the heavenlies and will end there as well. But it's fought mostly on earth today, and your family is smack dab on the middle of the battle." Boy, oh boy.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and when I wrote those words, even as you're reading them to me, I'm thinking, I remember writing those words and thinking about the vile and brutal and, you know, just about wanting to my father-in-law used to say when he's playing dominoes, I just spit if that do any good.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That was kind of the way I felt when I wrote that. But then as I was writing it, I was like, yes, that is true. Until we realize that the victory really does belong to us. And I honestly take that apart in my book and explain how the victory really belongs to us. Because I don't know about you, Bill, but for years I'd heard that, you know, oh, well, the victory belongs to us. And that would just frustrate me. Because
mm-hmm.
I thought, well, okay, then. What exactly does that mean and how do I live it?
Yeah. Well, let's pick apart a little bit about Satan's methods. I know that he'll often act pretty immediately, as soon as the word is heard, to make people inattentive or cause them to feel awkward and uncomfortable. So he's always constantly trying to get on top of truth and make it less true and contradict it, or he'll come in after the word's been received with a certain amount of joy and he'll convince people that holding on to that truth won't be worth the trouble. I think that happens with kids too in families where the word begins to take root, and then the lie comes up that says too many good things are being sacrificed. Look what's happening in school. Look at how unpopular you are. Look at all the things that aren't happening because of you holding to biblical values. So I think the enemy's got this really interesting methodology where he wants to get in and do nothing but lie, and your kids can believe it.
Well, and he anchors his life in what is believable. Like what you're saying, actually, is anytime we begin to allow the circumstances to determine our fate, then we become vulnerable to the enemy's attack. As his main goal is to attack our confidence in God, mm-hmm. to tear away at what we know is true about God. Mm-hmm. And that's why even when Jesus prayed for his disciples, he prayed that they would know the truth. And then even in that prayer in John 17, he said, "My word is truth. Your word is truth." Reminding all of us and his disciples then that even when all of the circumstances seem to point as to his truth not being true, even when the doubts are rising and even your feelings feel like it is not true, we can still cling to the truth as it is explained in his word. His word is truth. And yeah, you're right. When the devil wants nothing more than to distort the character and the motives of the Lord's heart, the character of God and the motives of his heart. That's how he first attacked us in the garden, mm-hmm. and it's how he continues to attack us today. Mm-hmm. And most often the way he does that is by whatever circumstances are coming our way. And he knows how to play those thought patterns, you know, in our minds. Well, no. If you've done this, this, and this, and look what that has delivered you, mm-hmm. you know. And, now, and so the goal being just to doubt God.
Yeah, Satan can't. He can't read our minds. I don't think he can, but he can certainly influence our thoughts. Do you have any feelings about that?
Right.
Any biblical understanding of that?
Yeah, well, and I agree with you that he cannot read our minds, but he does study our nature, and he's very familiar through the ages with the nature of humankind. Mm-hmm. He understands our weaknesses just by observation, mm-hmm. and he oftentimes can know what's going on in our minds just by listening to closely to what comes out of our mouths, or to take notice of what happens when we're under pressure. Mm-hmm. And most often that's the times we can know what's in our hearts and minds too, is when we even can surprise ourselves with what comes out when we're under pressure, when things don't go our way. Mm-hmm. So that's what he does. He becomes a student of that, and then he can identify our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses and target those and know just how to customize his attack to get to our heart, to the heart of our faith, to get us just to begin to doubt God, or to get bitter toward the ways of God, or to stop short of the playing out of the plans of the Lord.
Yeah. Now, Leanne, I know James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Shouldn't we just say, okay, mm-hmm. next?
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? What if we could just say, be gone?
Yeah. And I know there's a lot of people that say, I don't really want to see a devil in every bush. And
right, right.
So you've written a book on spiritual warfare. Yeah. So when people come to you, is that one of the first things you sense, that there could be spiritual warfare going on? I mean, it's I'm trying to figure out how we respect Satan. I mean, give him respect for who he is and what he's doing, but also to know that we have Jesus, so we're good.
Absolutely. And honestly,
Oops, we're going to take a little break. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson today. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in today for Susie Larson. We're talking to Leanne McCoy, and we just got cut off. And I'm thinking, is that just a bad cell connection, or is that Satan trying to get at us, huh?
Yeah, I was just waxing eloquent about warfare in general. I think it was Satan.
I know. Let's give him the credit on that one. All right, let's talk.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Let's talk about, about spiritual warfare in the family, and what are some of the reasons we might be losing some of the battles against the enemy.
Well, in spiritual warfare for your family, I identify three reasons that we lose the battles most often. The first is that we don't truly understand who we are in Christ. And by that, I don't just mean who am I. I mean, what am I privy to? What do I get to have access to because I'm a child of the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings? Who am I in the position of both authority and privilege that I stand in? So that's, we get confused about who we are in Christ. Satan keeps us ignorant of the full privileges we have as a child of the King.
Mm-hmm.
The second reason that we lose our battles is that we are cut off from our supply line. The Lord promises in his word that he will supply all our needs according to his glorious riches.
Mm-hmm.
And in that promise, we understand that we literally have everything we need for every situation that we encounter. But so often we as believers grow very frustrated because we feel like we're encountering situations and God's not there. He's not given us what we need. So Satan loves to keep us deceived into thinking that our supplies are not there. And I go into some detail into how he operates, what that strategy is, and how that works for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third reason is that we don't fully walk in the constant, tell you the truth, I'm fixing to flip in the book because I'm forgetting what that actual third reason is. We don't know who we are. We don't know that we have access to what we need. Oh, we just don't even know what we need. And that's
right.
Part of what keeps us ignorant. But we don't understand spiritual authority, what kind of authority we actually have over him. And that's a big one. He wants to keep us separated from understanding that we ourselves have authority literally over him and all of his demonic activity.
Mm-hmm. He can probably drag you into small claims court and try to pester you with little petty things, but he can't really drag you into God's Supreme Court because he knows he'd lose.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
I
was just going to say, what we do is because we don't understand, we end up getting lured into petty arguments as if we have to endure that attack anyway,
mm-hmm.
you know, even in the small claims court.
Yeah.
And I'm not a name it, claim it kind of a teacher at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and even earlier when you said, when we resist the devil, he'll flee from us, and he will. But that resistance is sometimes very difficult, and it requires much from us.
I agree. All right, let's talk a little bit about the kids. Let's just say they're young, their judgment might be a little poor, they're in formative years, they have a little rebellion going. So that's how we start. And then, of course, the Bible says sin can always be fun for a season. And I would imagine Satan's got the fun for a season cheerleaders with the pom-poms on the side going, go for it, it's fun for a season.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do sin, mm-hmm. and sin does you, and then you're in trouble.
Absolutely. And so many times we as parents think that we just sit by and are helpless because we try and we feel like we're doing all we know how to do. And too often we just throw our hands up and are just like, well, I can't do a thing with my child. And sometimes, and I actually confess this in my stories, in my own life, when my child began to do what I didn't want her doing, and some of the unthinkable as a Christian parent in the way you're rearing your child, making decisions where I said basically she fired us as parents,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I kind of had this naive thought of, well, God will take care of that. And when things began to spin out of control, my idea that God was just going to step in and save the day was not proven in reality. That's not what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Way after I thought the day should be saved, it wasn't. And in the process of that, I realized, oh, it's my job. It's my job to continue to stand in the gap. It's my job, even if she's not going to listen to me, for me to speak forth truth. It's my job to shut down opportunities if need be for, you know, those things to happen. And it's my job to continue to press into the Lord, even in spite of whatever it is that she's doing. And that truly is where I landed. When I said, fired us as parents and went her own way, I refused to take that as God's final answer on my child's destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of throwing my hands up and getting frustrated, even though I got frustrated plenty of times, I chose to press into the Lord, to take hold of the promises that I felt like he had personally given me with that child, cling tenaciously to those promises, and pray through the nightmare that we lived through that she was in. My daughter was pregnant at 18, moved out, lived with a boyfriend in a toxic relationship that became abusive to the point of life-threatening. And through all of that, the Lord has taught me the truth that I'm sharing in Spiritual Warfare for Your Family and brought her out to the other side, where one day I believe she'll be doing these radio interviews and writing the books of her story.
That's awesome. So why does Satan target our families for attack? Is it just because there's a lot of damage he can do? There's a lot of dysfunction he can create?
Yeah.
What would be your take on that?
Sure, it's that. And then it's also because biblically, the Lord uses in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 5, the model of the family to show what his relationship is with the church. The church is the bride of Christ. He uses the model of Christian marriage to show what his relationship is to the church, the relationship that God as Father had to his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're all children of God. Throughout Scripture, the Lord uses the institution of the family to be descriptive of what our relationship is with him. So, of course, Satan would want to destroy that and wreak havoc in the home, so that he can just rip to shreds that earthly illustration of God loving us as his people. And then, you know, beyond that is what you said, is just what defeats us more than the heartache of brokenness in our families.
Yeah, that's a big one for sure, because if he gets you discouraged and depressed and my family doesn't look the way I want it to look, that can be a pretty serious downward spiral. Where's God in all this?
Yeah.
I thought I could trust him. I thought he was good. I mean, there's lots of places you can go in your mind. Hopefully it doesn't get down to your heart. But
right.
Here's a quote out of your book I liked. While spiritual warfare is the struggle between God and Satan, it isn't a desperate struggle between two equal but opposing forces. There's never a moment in time when God is concerned that Satan might defeat him, that he might get the upper hand, or that Satan might topple God from his throne. God is the creator of the universe. Satan is a created being. That should give us hope, shouldn't it?
Yes, and it does, you know, and I actually addressed the question of, well, did God create Satan, then did he create evil? Now, God created Satan, which is a statement of hope. That means God is superior to the created being, and Satan has incredible power, but he has limited power. His power is less than God's power. God did not create Satan to be evil. He gave Satan a free will to choose, and Satan chose evil. As an angel, he had the opportunity to choose, and he chose to rebel against heaven. And so that gives, to me, that lets us know that God still is in control. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow as well, because when you're in extremely heartbreaking situations, you're like, well, wait a minute, the God I know would never let this happen.
I got to barge in. I'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson. Be back in a minute. Welcome back to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson. Talking to Leanne McCoy. She's written a book called Spiritual Warfare for Your Family. Satan's got a lot of weird strategies. I think one he gave me was, do what you love and the money will follow. But it follows right out of my pocket. Never can get it to go the other way for some reason. But that's just my problem. Leanne, I want to open up the phone lines. If anybody has a call and wants to ask Leanne a question about spiritual warfare for your family, you can give us a call at 1-877-933-2484, but make sure you direct your question to Leanne and not me, because I have the IQ of a border collie, which I believe are very smart dogs. Anyway, Leanne, let's get back into this discussion about spiritual warfare. Obviously, we have two extremes in dealing with warfare. We either see Satan as a really all-powerful boy, look at the influence he's having on our family, or we underestimate his abilities. We need to view him in the proper light. What should we be, as families, how should we be talking amongst each other and talking to the kids about Satan?
I think the proper light is to understand that Satan is more powerful. He's smarter and he's supernatural in his abilities, whereas we are not. Our power is limited. And so to never underestimate the powerful ways that he can draw you away from your confidence and your faith in God. But at the same time, to balance that with a solid understanding that God alone is most powerful, and that the way to overcome Satan's wiles, his strategies, is to continue to feed and to focus your attention to the development of your faith and your relationship with God. In fact, the way that we win against the devil's schemes and the way we win battles on the battlefield is to do what Jesus did, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow hard after him, to do what Jesus did, to live with humility, to live in obedience to the heart and the mind of God, to learn what that is. And to allow the Lord to be the center and the balance of our lives, to trust him, even if it seems like what's happening around us is not or could not be God's best, to keep our eyes focused on him, not to compromise in order to shortcut the progress we make towards the blessings that God has for us.
Mm-hmm. I know some people, when they engage in prayer or spiritual warfare, they address Satan directly. Do you think that's a wise thing for us as believers to do?
No, I mean, it's not neither wise nor not wise. I don't think that we should, even as we're talking today, you know, the challenge is to somehow give Satan attention. He just wants to draw attention away from God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what caused him to rise up in the first place. And so if we make our time like I have to stand and Satan, you cannot do this and you cannot do that and you cannot, then we're taking a posture that really we don't have to have. As children of God, we just line ourselves up with the Lord. And the way we do that is to focus our attention, our energy on praising God. In fact, in Spiritual Warfare for Your Family, I talk about three incredible divine weapons we have to overcome the enemy. And one of those divine weapons is the powerful weapon of praise. When we praise God and when we speak forth with our mouths the glory and the goodness of God, and we're reminding ourselves and everyone around us the supremacy of God and the perfect love of God and all of these great characteristics of God, just read the Psalms aloud, then one, the demons scatter because they cannot stand the presence of the praises that we're giving to God. And then in the other, we're reminding ourselves of where we are in this thing. I mean, we're children of the Lord of Lords, mm-hmm. the God of the universe, and he is most powerful. And so much more powerful for when we pray, to pray to the Lord and to praise the Lord in our prayers and then watch what God will do on our behalf against the enemy.
Mm-hmm. All right, Leanne, we have a caller, Carol from Detroit Lakes, is on the line. Carol, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. You have a question for Leanne? Go ahead.
I have been an intercessor for many years, and the Lord has, you know, taught me through his word, through the Holy Spirit. There seems to be lots of deception and things going on with New Age, and people can... I'm just wondering, to come against all that, such as the witchcraft or any altars that may have been established unbeknownst, you know, to even innocent believers, you know, and tearing mm-hmm. down anything the enemy's trying to establish, whether it be in a marriage, a family, a neighborhood, you know, a county that you live in, and how to counter, you know, or come against that righteously?
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Leanne,
that
what do you
is
think?
A great question. in so many ways. Also, Carol, your question makes me think about the subtle ways that the culture teaches one thing while we as godly parents are teaching another. And you don't even realize that that undercurrent philosophical difference is seeping into your home, and witchcraft being an extreme of that. But I believe, and you probably are like this too, Carol, as an intercessor, the Holy Spirit does reveal to us what those forces are that are coming against us. And the more sensitive we are able to be in prayer to even asking the Lord to help us identify what those forces are, then we can identify them and then know specifically how to, as the Luke said to us, bind the strong man, to bind that force that has been unleashed with us. One of the things that I've been doing recently is beginning to look at, a lot of times you can identify a spirit by seeing what behavior seems to be rampant amongst several people, not just one person, and whether it's a spirit of rebellion or the deception of materialism or whatever that might be. And then when you identify that, go to the Word and search for scripture that addresses those things straight up, and use the Word of God in prayer. As we claim and we agree with the Word of God, our power comes when we come in agreement with God and then choose to stand in the gap as a human being who's been redeemed, who can stand here on earth with the dominion God's given us and agree with God, so that we then line ourselves up with Him, put ourselves in the gap, and allow the Lord's power to flow through us, through our agreement, then into and against those forces of darkness. I hope that makes sense to you. But my encouragement is both to ask the Lord to help us identify what those spirits are, but then to find scripture that addresses those specific things and pray that scripture into those circumstances.
Carol, thanks for calling the show. Love to have you on.
Thank you.
Yeah. Leanne, you wrote a whole chapter in your book that said the battle really is all in your head. What does that mean?
Well, it means that the battle that goes on is not the circumstances that you're facing with. It's the thought patterns that you have, because Satan truly cannot do to us anything that the perfect love and power of God would not allow to happen. And that's a hard thing to say, but it's so true, because whatever it is that's happening to us, God can prove Himself faithful, and He can work all things together for good. And so when these things are happening, the battle is in our head and in our interpretation of those things. And again, what Satan's trying to do is tear away at our confidence in God, to make us feel like God's let us down, or to make us feel like God has abandoned us, or to make us feel like God's not able to come through on our behalf, or, you know, whatever it is. So the battle is what's going on in our minds, not necessarily what's going on around us.
Mm-hmm. Another caller from St. Paul, Kelly. Kelly, welcome to the show. You have a question for Leanne.
Yes, I was wondering, how do you tell the difference if you're having, like, for instance, physical pain? How do you tell if that's an attack from the enemy or if that's God, you know, trying to slow you down or something?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Kelly, that I could tell the difference. I actually share in Spiritual Warfare for Women that I was diagnosed with cancer and went through probably the greatest physical challenge I've ever had, was fighting cancer not once but twice, and wondering, you know, was this the devil attacking me, or was this just God slowing me down? And I come from the background of, does it really matter? What really matters is what we do with that, and trusting God completely with our bodies. The scripture says that my body is the temple of the Lord. And I'm reminded of the story in the Old Testament when the Philistine god Dagon was, the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of the Lord, was placed next to Dagon in Dagon's temple. And when that Ark was placed there, the presence of God was placed in that temple, the next morning the Philistines came in and saw their god had bowed down to the presence of God. And then on the next day, their god had actually been broken in two in the presence of God. And what that, I really relate that to me and my physical battle, is that when cancer came to my body and I was attacked in that way, it could be whatever physical ailment you have, that whatever it was had to bow down to the presence of God in me, because the presence of God in me rules. And so I wanted that, whatever that was, to, the way it bows down is that I'm going to choose to look at that ordeal as an opportunity to point to the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the strengthening and the encouragement of God. And that really is my word to all of those who are dealing with sicknesses and illnesses. I pray for healing. I pray for God to do the miraculous and restore health and those kind of things. And I love when God does that. And at the same time, I pray also for the strengthening that God gives us when we sometimes just have to deal and go through that ordeal of physical attack.
All right. Kelly, thanks so much for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, nice to have you on the show.
You're welcome.
I have another caller, Allie from St. Paul. Allie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Question for Leanne.
I have a real quick question. Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. I do have a real quick question for Leanne, and then I got to hang up my phone, and I'll listen to your answer. I am fairly new to the concept, and I don't know where this came from, and I'd love to know where it is in Scripture, if it is in Scripture. It's the concept of pleading the blood of Jesus over your family. I don't know if that's familiar to you.
Mm-hmm. I've heard it said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And yeah, that's that was just my question. It's like I said, it's a new concept to me, and I don't know where to find it in Scripture. So thank you.
Okay. And I hear your family right there with you on
right.
your phone call.
Yeah.
So I honestly am going to be very honest and say I can't point to the exact Scripture. Bill, you may know an exact Scripture that we could point to, but the concept is that when Jesus died on the cross, his death, of course, was sacrificial. It was in the place of us, and that was the sufficient penalty to be paid for our sin. And so it's that death of Christ, the blood of Christ, that puts us in this position of authority. So when we're pleading the blood of Christ, we're praying from a position of confidence that the heart of God, the grace of God, the power of God is all there at the cross, and that we ourselves, when we stand in that place of grace, then we can be conduits of that grace into the hearts and the lives of our family members. And that's like a quick answer that, honestly, if you'll read the whole entire book, you'll understand it step by step, because you're really hitting exactly the heartbeat of where our spiritual authority comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, Bill, do you know a specific verse that speaks to pleading the blood of Christ? Over?
Well, of course I do, but I'm not just going to give it to you. I mean, you know.
You're going to make a search for it, huh? Yeah.
You know, 995, I'll hand it over to you, but we're going to take a break when we come back.
Right.
you're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Live the Promise. So glad you joined us today. Having a very interesting conversation with Leanne McCoy. She wrote a book called Spiritual Warfare for Your Family. One of the things she said in the book, as she mentioned something about the battles are often lost because we unknowingly erect high places in our lives, and we make those children those high places. I think I'm getting that right. Are they becoming mm-hmm. disordered loves, kind of? Like we love them in a disordered sort of way. I'm trying to spit this out.
That's
here.
A I'm good not, way to say it.
Well, isn't that Augustine from the 4th century that talked about disordered loves? It's not that we love bad things, but we love good things too much.
Mm,
and they take on a place of importance in our lives where if something happens to them, we collapse entirely.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what this chapter in my book is talking about, is when we actually begin to allow the focus of our prayers to rise up so high that we no longer are serving God only, but we're beginning to serve God if only. Lord, if only you will do this. And when we begin to do that, then we are separating ourselves from the flow of God's divine power, because the Lord is a jealous God and he's not going to allow us to begin to dictate to him what to do. He wants us to be in a place of receiving from him what is best. And it's really the irony and that is in the win in spiritual warfare is that we win when we surrender, mm-hmm. when we surrender completely to the divine authority and wisdom and knowledge and understanding and love and all those things that we only glimpse in part while we're here. But when we surrender to all of that, then God, we are able to stand in the flow of his power. And one of the aspects of the powerful flow of God's divine power in us is that he opens our understanding so that we actually do then begin to see his perspective on what's going on in the relationships and in the circumstances around us. You know, with our children breaking our hearts, many times what looks like them running helter-skelter in the wrong direction is actually God's right there. You know, one of the things my daughter said when she came back home was, Mom, I wasn't really thinking about running away from God, but I certainly wasn't running to him. But everywhere I went, no matter how dark that place was, I discovered that God was already there ahead of me.
And I wonder,
very cool thing.
Yeah, and that probably is something she started learning when she was quite young.
Yeah,
from you and your husband,
right.
I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now.
Well, and being reared in the community of faith, right, in the church. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You talk a little bit towards the end of your book. You deal with some quite specific ways that the enemy will target our kids at different stages of their lives. Can you give us a little insight on that?
Okay. I break that section of my book down into developmental stages, the preschool years, the elementary, middle school, high school, and then even talk a little bit about our adult, quote, children, which are really, you know, our adult kids, because our relationship as parents continues on. And in each of those, I share three specific ways where vulnerabilities really in a child's life at that stage of life where the enemy can attack. One of them is through, for instance, the cell phones, your personal electronic devices,
mm-hmm.
and how because we give our children those at a very young age or whatever age, most teenagers have their own cell phone, they have access to a world that the devil rules so much of. And we as parents, unless we are vigilant, all kinds of things can our child can be exposed to. And what I share in the book is we as parents are responsible for being the gatekeeper mm-hmm. of that world. And that's the kind of thing I talk about. And, of course, different specifics for each age level of a child.
Mm-hmm. I hope to get me one of those cell phones one of these days.
Okay, maybe not. It might just be
that. Yeah. Let's talk about some of the dynamics that goes on within a family where maybe there's unforgiveness, where the parents are angry and the kids aren't asking for forgiveness, and there's all kinds of trouble. Now, isn't that a breeding ground mm-hmm. for opportunity for the enemy to come in and say, "Ooh, I've got fertile ground here."
Absolutely, and surely he loves to jump on that ground because we are, and one might be the largest chapter in the book is the chapter where I talk about one of the divine weapons we have as believers is the weapon of forgiveness. Because we have a personal relationship with a God who forgives, we are able, if we are willing, to forgive like God forgives, and we're never more like Christ than when we are practicing forgiveness. We're never more unlike Christ than when we are harboring unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And that then is why that atmosphere of unforgiveness is fertile ground for the devil to do all kinds of dastardly deeds, you know. And what he does is comes in and he distorts and he creates shadows in relationships and all kinds wreaks all kinds of havoc. and beefs up pride. You know, it's pride that keeps us from forgiving in the first place. So mm-hmm. actually in that chapter in Spiritual Warfare for Your Family, I talk about specific ways that you can develop forgiveness as a habit. And I encourage all of us, and me included, as the writer of the book, that we will have ample opportunity to exercise this incredible weapon we have of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Ample opportunity.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just trying to figure out, we don't have a lot of time left, but I'm trying to figure out the difference between what would appear to be like, oh boy, this is a spiritual attack, and just everyday sin patterns that go on in families, because people do that. That's the nature for a lot of people.
Right. Well, and I think the difference is spiritual attacks are those things that come when they're not created by a sin pattern. For instance, if you have my daughter, I believe, right this minute, I have two daughters and a son. My second daughter right now is right this minute, I feel like, under spiritual attack, because there's like she's following after the Lord with all of her heart, the best that she knows how, being obedient to his word, following what she believes the purpose is for life. And one unfortunate incident after another seems to be happening in very short succession in her life, you mm-hmm. know, and to the point that my husband and I both were saying yesterday, boy, you know, it's like the hedge of protection has just been destroyed around our daughter. And of course, you know, she's still healthy and there's a lot of good things going on, but we are praying for her right now because we believe the attack's coming from the enemy. Well, the reason I believe the attack's coming from the enemy is because it's not originating in any sin patterns necessarily in her life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other things in our families, and we've talked about this often, that we give the devil credit for it, but it's just our family is suffering because of somebody's wrong choices. And that's the thing about families. You know, you don't suffer just because of your wrong choices. You sometimes suffer because of a family member's wrong choices, and it brings the weightiness of that comes against the whole entire family just because we choose to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that happens too. And the best antidote to that is not really wondering whether it's Satan attacking your family or not. The best thing is to, as a family, and I actually have this as an online resource. The book has an extension in a spiritual warfare toolkit that I have online, and the link to that is on my website. But in that toolkit, I encourage families to take time to state a family value, like your own family's, this is who we are and what we want to be as a family, and take time to define that. And then when crises come your way, use that as a compass to navigate whether you're staying true to what you believe is God's value statement for your family. And there's lots of great resources online for that, but I give you one in that toolkit that I have as a part of the extension of the book.
Yeah. Leanne, I so appreciate your book and all the thought you've put into studying spiritual warfare for the family. I know there's listeners, because we've had calls that have come in during this hour that are struggling with what they think is spiritual warfare in their family, and it's real and it's today. Would you pray for those listeners for us?
I would be glad to. Father, I just invite you today to be glorified in our homes. Lord, I pray that no matter what battles that our listeners are facing, those that we are facing in our homes, God, that we would see your hand in each one. God, we would understand the victory that we can have because of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of your Son that gave us the opportunity to be united heart and mind with your heart and mind. Father, we invite you to impact our homes with supernatural power. Lord, to illustrate your incredible, exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or imagine work that you want to do on our behalf. In Jesus' name I pray. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Leanne McCoy, thank you. It's been great having you on the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's
You're
been
welcome.
My pleasure.
Yeah, have a great day. I've been speaking with Leanne McCoy about her book, Spiritual Warfare for Your Family, What You Need to Know to Protect Your Children. You can go online at myfaithradio.com. If you want more information, you can check that out there. This is Live the Promise. I'm Bill Arnold. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next. Susie Larson will be here. Hurrah! Thanks for listening.